I mentioned to you yesterday, I've had the privilege of knowing Patricia Rodney, or Patty as she's known, for some time. A long time ago in 1981, when we had our founding convention of the BCNU at the Empress Hotel in Victoria, it was my first convention and I arrived to an unknown roommate. The unknown roommate was a steward from St. Paul's Hospital and her name was Patty Rodney. Since that time, Patty's gone on to become a PhD, an associate professor at the University of Victoria School of Nursing. She's a faculty associate with the Marion Morris Young Center for Applied Ethics at UBC, a research associate with Providence Healthcare Ethics Services, chair of the Canadian Nurses Association Ethics Committee, etc., etc. She's published, she's an excellent speaker, and I think it's a good example of how nursing can be such a varied and wonderful career. That two people coming from the bedside at 81 have gone in such divergent directions in our careers and yet have an interest in the welfare of nurses. I'm pleased to introduce Patty to speak to you today about safe and healthy workplaces towards a better moral climate. Patty, welcome.
I want to say thank you, Deborah. You've just aged both of us, but I'll forgive you for that. And I just want to echo also what Deborah said about our shared commitment to the well-being of nurses, the profession, and the people we provide care for. That's certainly driven me in the directions that I've gone, as it's driven Deborah in the choices she's made. So it's wonderful to have a chance to connect. We've informally collaborated over the years. I've inflicted several of my publications on her, saying, here, Deborah, ammunition. So it's nice to be able to have a chance to be in a more formal venue. I want to say good morning to all of you and say it's absolutely wonderful to be in a room full of nurses from across the province, I know, with very diverse skills, backgrounds, and I unfortunately can't stay for the coffee break because I'm off to a research meeting that's a follow-up of what I'm going to talk to you about this morning, but I will be coming back for drinks this evening, so I'll have a chance to hang. I got my priorities right? Drinks over coffee. So. What I want to do is tell you a little bit about some nursing research that we are really trying to make relevant for practice. Now, I stand here knowing that nursing academics have not had a great history in terms of being relevant for people on the front lines or for non-academics. And I think that I'm hoping that that's changing. Certainly myself and a number of colleagues have come up through what we consider to be strong practice backgrounds, even though we're outdated as anything right now. We certainly originated from there, and we really do share a passionate commitment to what happens at the bedside in the home where care is delivered. And that has meant that we have launched on a program of research that started in 1999 and is carrying on in full-fledged form today, literally today, as I head off to another meeting that I'll tell you about. And I very graciously have a colleague, Melody, who is going to keep hitting the slides for me. So I must say I've never had anybody do PowerPoint by remote for me. This is quite amazing. So next, if we can go to the next overhead. Thanks, Melody. I want to talk about, just say a word, that when I stand here, I'm not standing by myself. And each of you know of the benefit of good collaboration and teamwork, and I've certainly been privileged to experience that at the University of Victoria and work with a wonderful team of faculty and colleagues who share the kind of commitment I have and who come from quite diverse practice backgrounds. My own practice background being from critical care. We also have colleagues from community, from pediatrics, neonatal intensive care, and so forth. If we can go to the next overhead. What I want to do is to tell you a little bit about our research results and most importantly the insights that we're coming up with. And Deborah graciously arranged to have this over this photocopied for you so you won't have to make notes because I definitely talk too fast. So you'll want to know that you've got something that's a takeaway here. What I want to do is to tell you a little bit about what we've learned, what we think the next directions are, what we're trying out right now, and then have some conversation with those of you in the audience for about 15 minutes once I've finished presenting. So you can make yourself notes as you listen that you might want to hop up to the mic to, and if you miss the mic, you can catch me over drinks tonight to forward the questions. So first off, I want to say that there is a huge body of research that is both Canadian, certainly from British Columbia, Canada, internationally, that makes it clear that within Western healthcare, the conditions of nurses' work have significantly deteriorated over the past decade and a half. And I want to make that statement. I know it's something you know, I know it's something that you have a mandate to push back on, but I do want to say that the research literature, as many of you will have read, makes it abundantly clear that the sort of political, socio-political changes that started about the early 90s really have had quite a serious impact on the conditions for nurses' work and ultimately for the well-being of the patients and families we provide care for. Now, this work, by the way, if you're ever wanting to follow up on some of these studies, you're welcome to, we have a website that I've put that's on your overhead, your handout, that you can look at some of the things we've written. But I do want to mention also, Health Canada's Office of Nursing Policy has a tremendous repository of this research, as I know your own BCNU offices would have also. So what's happened is that in many ways, it's hard to know exactly why this occurred, but there was a definite philosophical and political philosophical shift that's actually transcended various political parties. It's not even necessarily a partisan political shift, but it's been a sweeping, what we've come to call ideology, meaning taken for granted, big picture philosophy, that has resulted in seeing healthcare as being too costly. And some of the restructuring and the reorganization that we've seen has certainly contributed to what the list is up there, the growing shortage of providers and resources. So certainly nursing, as we know, is well documented. We have a serious and soon to be critical nursing shortage. By the way, the shortage also includes physician specialists, others, and problems with distribution between rural and urban. Certainly at the same time, with the way that healthcare and medicine has changed, those of us practicing in acute care have seen increased patient acuity, so that the patient loads that we used to carry when I graduated almost 30 years ago, to try to carry the same patient load is a vastly different experience, which any of you who've been in the field even more than 10 years will have seen. The other thing is, of course, that acuity has really hit home care and long-term care as well, that the complexity of the patient problems there are definitely escalating as people are living longer. Certainly that's contributed to growing workloads. The sort of fourth bullet point that I'm just setting the stage on, reminding you of, is what I've come to view as a mind-numbing sequelae or sequencing of restructuring and reorganization. In the last 10 years, I don't know of one organization that's been stable. I don't know if the rest of you have seen it. But it is, economists have a term called opportunity costs, meaning that sometimes when you make an initiative, you lose opportunities. And I can't help but wonder, what are all the opportunities that have been lost from the restructuring and reorganization? I know that there are some good intentions. I'm going to sort of point to the negative, but I do also want to balance with the positive. I know that some of it has had good results, but an awful lot of it has meant a sweeping sense of uncertainty through leadership and staff people in organizations. And I wish that people would study the outcomes of that a little bit more. So clearly, nurses then in direct practice, and most of the research, by the way, that portrays this is done in acute care, but certainly I hear this from home care and long-term care colleagues. We're seeing nurses with increasing stress, attrition, and exhaustion. And as you know, the illness and injury rate of nurses is skyrocketing. It's completely unacceptable. It's one of the most difficult fields of work to be in terms of illness and injury. And what's not on this slide that I want to emphasize is that when you look at the research data, and this program of work started especially in the early 90s, you'll see that when you look at the incidence of illness and injury of nurses, reduced nurse satisfaction, increased attrition of nurses, when you see casualization of the nursing workforce, and you look at the statistics on morbidity and mortality, they go hand in hand. In other words, as the conditions, the data is quite compelling that showing as the conditions of nurses' work deteriorate, so too do acute care anyway, morbidity and mortality. Likely that's true also in other agencies, it just hasn't been studied as well. So I want to emphasize that the research on this is absolutely clear, and there have been a number of national reports. Health Canada came out with a report on nursing in 2002 that really raised an alarm about this. So it is serious. The conditions for nurses work, I'm just validating what you already know, but I do want to emphasize that these are multiple studies that are pointing in the same direction, which, by the way, I've learned, one of the things I learned going back to school is how little we know and how often the research remains uncertain. This is not uncertain research. It is strong, compelling, well done. Now, what we have done as a team of nurses interested in ethics is we're interested in nurses' workplaces. Absolutely, but we are also interested in the values dimension of those workplaces. And that's what we mean by the term moral climate, that we're interested in the values that permeate the sort of the structural and interpersonal resources at work. And so our studies have been interested in issues like workload, shortages, and so forth. But we want to know more about some of the values, what nurses experience in terms of their own moral being, and what some of the sort of values conflicts are both at local and larger system levels. So if we go to the next overhead, in a study that we did between 1999 and 2000, I'm not going to go a whole lot into methodology because we don't have time, but if anybody's interested, I'm always happy to chat about methodology. But just to let you know that we did focus groups with nurses on Vancouver Island, the Lower Mainland, about 20 different groups of nurses from quite diverse practice contexts, all the way from critical care, OR, to community long-term care maternity. So quite a scope of practice arenas. And there's been other research like this done, but it was certainly compelling for us. It was a small study that started us on this whole program of work that we've been following ever since.